again to make his way up here so we can start to pray for him. I'll leave that up there as I lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we bring before you our dear brother Jack Law, an amazing man, a friend and brother to all. But Lord, today we know that you have placed a very special message on his heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would give him confidence and clarity and articulation and wisdom. Allow him to just pass that on to us, Lord. Allow us to receive it and to apply it. And we just pray that you'd bless all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you hear me? Yes, I bet you can. I bet you can. Harry Fulton, stand up, please. If you're blessed as I am to have a wonderful group of brothers that comes around you in good times and bad, you're truly blessed. Today is Harry Fulton's birthday. He turned in 55, or 5 for the 50th time, if you know Harry. I'm getting requests to turn my mic down. Yeah, sorry. So you guys established your no, don't you sit down. You established your credibility for following orders earlier. Let's sing Harry happy birthday. I won't sing because it's loud. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Harry. Happy birthday to you. All right. Thank you. That's right. No, that's all you get. Oh, wait a minute. What's going on here? Chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. We got a lot to cover in a short time to do it, so I'm going to get talking pretty quick so I can stay within my 20 minutes, which I've already used a minute of. Alistair Begg short titles this chapter of Ecclesiastes, Celebrate Life. I was speaking to Richard Dick earlier, and I said, isn't it God's will that I get to fall in kind of between 10 and 12, which are a little downbeat? I really needed this. My April is not rolling out like I'd hoped it to be, so working on this was a really great way to put me in a much better frame of mind. So here we go. Chapter 1, he short titles, Go For It. The illustration in the chapter is, cast your bread upon the waters and it will return to you after many days. What's that mean? I mean, you cast some bread in the water, it's going to soak up water, sink down to the bottom and get soggy, become fish food. I don't get that. But what the preacher is trying to tell us is, you don't know what's going to happen from your many opportunities and many efforts. The power in the event is the unlikely nature of the outcome, to just go for something. Any Chicago Bulls fans in here? Not anymore. All right. So way back in the 1900s, there was this guy called Michael Jordan, teammates Scottie Pippen, Steve Kerr, lots of really basketball team captured a lot of attention, and rightly so. This guy is a man named Don Calhoun, who took a chance on making a free throw from the other side of the court. So just during a timeout, it wasn't like the halftime show or anything like that. Guy gets up there, sinks it, throws that ball just like that. Wonderful video. And to me, what would probably have been the funnest part, he wins $1 million, oh, by the way. And then what I think would be the funnest part, he's in the mob by the whole Bulls team. Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, these giants of the game just come and tackle him there. Everybody was so excited. So go for it. You don't know what's going to happen, even if the outcome is unlikely. As Christian men of intentionality, we should desire to fail in action and never fail to act. And Pastor Begg relates to the story, the parable of the talents, the parable of the good servant. The master travels away for an amount of time. He leaves his men in charge, three men in charge of his bank account, I guess, if you will, 10 talents, 5 talents, 2 talents. One of them buries his in the ground. He does nothing with it. And the metaphor that Jesus is painting to his followers when he tells us this parable, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the family I gave you? What did you do with the funds I gave you? What did you do with the job I gave you? Did you use it to serve the kingdom, or did you bury it in the ground? We really would like to be the vessel through which God accomplishes his purposes. So go for it. Diversify, Pastor Begg says. Diversify, spread your efforts out, for you don't know which one of them will yield the fruit. So you want to take many opportunities. If you put all your eggs in one basket, you end up with the problem these guys have. Anyone know the movie? Jurassic Park. The scientist had just told the group there, well, we made all these dinosaurs female, so there's no problem with them breeding and getting out and having an uncontrolled population. And Dr. Ian Malcolm, played by Jeffrey Goldblum, says, life finds a way. and evidently it does, because we had the movie Jurassic Park, and I don't know how many 17 sequels we're up to now. Life finds a way. You can't have just one plan, because if we kind of turn it over on its head, the world, Satan, finds a way to spoil the one thing you were counting on. I could also borrow a little from the parable of the sower. Jesus talking about the word of God will be spread out like a man throwing seeds, and some will land on the path and won't take root. Some will land in the thorny places and be choked out. Some of the seed will land in fertile ground, will grow and thrive. Just like when you take opportunities, you take many opportunities, some of them are going to get choked out. Some of them will never get off the ground. Some of them are going to land in fertile ground and thrive. And you can't always know which is which. So you want to seize with enthusiasm a variety of opportunities. I don't know why that picture came back in the back. I'll fix that for the third service. Stick with it. Stick with it. I've lost count of how many well-started projects I have in the garage. Anyone got any of those? Well-started projects? Yeah. Launch out in new directions, always looking for something new to do. So what happens is, as Pastor Begg tells us, we get to a certain age. If you've been around the sun a few times like me, you get to a certain age, you start feeling like, well, I can take it easy. I don't have to try as much. I don't do as much. And then you get to this point where you say, you know, you're told that you're old, so you need to conform to sensible expectations, right? How about sensible like this guy? John Glenn, who in 1998 became the oldest American in space at 77 years old. The fun part of the best part of his story I like is when the space shuttle he was on was re-entering Earth's atmosphere, all the astronauts buckled into their seats for that ride in, except John Glenn, who rode like this between the pilot and commander's seats. That's a story, and I love it. I hope it's true. But in the Navy, we never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Or this guy, William Shatner, who in 2021 beat John Glenn's record. Oh, you guys don't know who that is? Do you know who this is? Yeah, now you know who he is, right? Or maybe, do you know who that is? What's the line? Come! Right. Sorry, I know the mic's a little hot. 90 years old, becomes the oldest American in space. Or maybe this guy, Ed Dwight, who 3 years later beat William Shatner's record. Well, by a few months only, evidently, they were both 90. Went to space, legally blind. Has about 6 different pairs of glasses and things trying to help him see, but he writes a wonderful story about going up there. Don't let your hands become idle in the evening of life. You young guys, you can ignore this message. You're never idle, right? Some of us, though, feel like, oh, man, I ought to be getting to the age where I start to relax, right? I don't have to do as much. Nope, stick with it. Hey, don't wait for ideal conditions. If it's raining, put your raincoat on, right? It's hot, put a hat on, some sunscreen. Do it. In the book, talking again, it's kind of from the point of view of a farmer. If it's raining or it's too windy or the conditions aren't right, he decides not to sow his seed, not going to have a harvest. I think that's easy to take in. But it gets a little more dramatic when you listen to Charles Spurgeon. We may call it prudence, but unbelief is its true name. That's a little convicting there. Why are you not doing anything right now? Is it because it's raining? Or because you don't really believe that God is with you in this endeavor? That other great theologian, Garth Brooks, put it this way. We call them cool, those hearts that have no scars to show, the ones that never do let go and risk the tables being turned. We call them fools who have to dance within the flame, who chance the sorrow and the shame that always comes with getting burned. They're so hell-bent on giving and walking a wire, convinced it's not living if you stand outside the fire. And then the last two lines of the chorus of that song, life is not tried, it is merely survived if you're standing outside the fire. If you can write great lyrics and sing a great song, we will forgive you for that shirt. Dads of kids. Anyone got kids at home? Right? Do they feel like they're on an adventure with you? Or do they feel like they're in a constant board meeting? We have to evaluate this. We have to evaluate this, that. We can do this for this reasons. We can't do that for that reasons. Do we analyze the fun out of things? I can. I think I took my kids on a lot of adventures. And I think I analyzed the fun out of some of them, probably. Be on an adventure with your kids. This is the thing that this is one of the best gifts you can give your children. Pluses, minuses, pros, cons, evaluation is wise. Don't let it paralyze. I didn't realize that was going to rhyme. Teddy Roosevelt, do what you can, where you are, with what you have. Don't wait for ideal conditions. Enjoy. You guys are going to have to help me out at the end of this song too, right? The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself. And then the tag. Oh, yeah. This is a joy of my life. Scotty and Lily. Or Lily and Scotty. Still don't always get it right. Well, I missed it. What? Beautiful kids. My son Carter's two daughters. They have a two-year-old as well. These girls are just learning to crawl, so I think life is pretty much over for Carter and Abigail. Man, do you enjoy life? Do you need to tell your face? Huh? Do other people see that? Belief in this Christ should cause an individual to celebrate life. The invisible God should be made visible in the lives of his children. Tell your face. And he came that we may have life abundantly. John 10:10. Where's Dallas? Dallas, I saw you. Dallas, what'd I say prodigal means? Yeah, that was the word. Lavishly. Yeah, lavishly. Now, the Greek word that appears in John 10:10 is the same that was word that was used, sort of like prodigal or lavishly, is excessively. He came that we may have life excessively. Are you showing life excessively? Do you need to tell your face? Be happy. Be happy. That's a tall order sometimes, if I'm honest. That's a tall order. Be happy. Oh, well, that's easy. I remember one of my favorite all-time movies, Say Anything. Anyone remember John Cusack? Yeah, he remembers it. Tells his sister, struggling single mom, baby, the diaper and toys, and she's all stressed out, and he says, why can't you just be happy? Or how hard is it to just be happy? And she says, gee, it's easy. She's looking around. Be happy. While you're young, this is really a message to the young guys. I don't really have to be happy anymore. Evidently, the preacher thinks the young guys have a problem being happy, burdened by too much work, burdened by too many responsibilities, burdened by too many new experiences they're not ready to face. Of all the people on the face of the earth, the believer ought to lead in enjoyment of life and in the experience of happiness. He should experience art, a sunset, music, with a level of enjoyment that is distinctly different. Yeah. Do you have a happy playlist? Anyone? So, I'm from the 1900s, so my happy playlist looks a little like Katrina and the Waves, right? Walking on sunshine, yeah, yeah. Lots of Beatles in there, some very happy Beatles songs. Here Comes the Sun. Journey, Don't Stop Believing. This song just keeps appearing everywhere all the time. It's a song that'll never end. How does Steve Perry get his voice to go that high? None of us in here would probably want to try it right now. I will not do it. Yeah, yes, jeans were very tight. That's exactly how he got it. All right, and since to prove that not all my music comes from the 1900s, how about just the song Happy? That's hard. You cannot sing that song without tapping your feet, because I'm happy. Yeah, all right. Thanks for all, Williams. Relax. This doesn't just mean lay on a hammock in your backyard with the sun shining on you, but it does mean that. It means a little more, though, right? Banish anxiety from your heart, the preacher tells us. It's, again, tall order, banish anxiety. But if you think of, there's a lot of emotions that we sort of consider negative, but if you view them from the lens of a creator God who loves you, you realize their legitimate purpose. Anxiety has a legitimate purpose. It spurs us to complete action when the failure to do so will produce a bad outcome. If your mind is aware of that, this feeling of anxiety will come over you. It means you need to do something. So if you're experiencing anxiety that is what I'd call legitimate, and I'll take those emails, no problem. If you're experiencing legitimate anxiety, do that thing. Right? But if this anxiety is just a feeling of a negative emotion that's accompanying a sense of being out of control of things that you can't control, you shouldn't control, you're unable to control, that's the anxiety you want to banish. Oh, don't idolize your youth. That's going backwards. Go backwards. Don't idolize your youth, young people. It's great. You're young. Got everything in the right place at the right altitude and the right density. That's excellent. Enjoy it, but don't dread its loss. I don't mourn its passing, as I know someday I'll start to age. Someday my hair will start to turn gray and start to thin out. I'm okay with that, that'll happen someday. I'm going to enjoy my youth while I've got it. Okay, Steve Martin killed with that joke. Come on. I realize someday my hair will turn gray. A call to relax is not a call to indifference. It's not a call to irresponsibility. As Begg said, don't be careless, be carefree. So let's all try to relax. Don't forget, though, there's a final exam this time of year. We're talking about finals. If you've got those kids at home, you raised your hand earlier about that. There is a need for guardrails. The Lord wants you to experience all these great things. He wants you to have all these great plans and seize opportunities, sow those seeds. He wants you to have many wonderful and amazing experiences. There are some guardrails, and you need to be aware of your own weaknesses and be aware of folly when it raises head. Folly, that's an interesting word. Kind of, you know, the same we get foolishness, fool, and all that. And I thought, where did that word come from? So I did a little researching. The word that we use for fool and folly comes from the sort of, it's a Middle English term that described a bellows like a blacksmith might use to pump air to make his furnace a little hotter. It's a windbag. When we use this word, we're saying don't be empty-headed. And maybe this wasn't part of the description, but I kind of liked it once I saw the picture I got. Don't let somebody else be managing all the controls, right? Pumping all that empty hot air on people. So how do I prepare to meet God at the time of judgment? So I'm supposed to have all these carefree opportunities and throw my seeds. And I know there's things in my background. There's things I'd like to just erase. You know, things I've done, I'd really like to just erase them. Well, guess what? Guess what? You know, people will say Christ died for us, and I like to, I like anything. But how about Christ died instead of us? Christ died instead of me. People say we don't deserve God's mercy and grace. We're not deserving. We're undeserving. I'm not undeserving. I'm ill-deserving. My portion should be taken and given to someone else. I'm ill-deserving. What are you thinking of? Why give that to him? That word. Come on, it's just like it looks. You can read it, right? You guys don't read Greek? Look, T-E-T-E, that's obviously an L, E, and the next thing is an S. I might call it a sigma, you guys out there, and they're old Deming guys and Lean Six Sigma. T-A-I, tetelestai. What's it mean? It's an accounting term from those times. It means paid in full. So maybe you go pick up your car from the shop because you just paid $600 to have a little rubber bushing replaced, and they have to take the whole engine and everything out. Give them your credit card. Tetelestai, paid. You don't owe me anything. Act like that. How do we prepare? Prepare like a guy for whom Jesus was nailed to the cross so that you can live forever. Parting thoughts. Evidently, my parting thoughts are a quote, Mark. That's it. No. Let's see. I hope not. All right. I love this writing from Alistair Begg, or was in his sermon. Does any part of the world wonder what makes me tick? Because of the vibrancy of life, I could do it in Alistair Begg voice, because of the vibrancy of life and reality and enjoyment and initiative and enterprise that pervades my existence? What do they see? Do you need to tell your face? Do you show your kids they're on an adventure? Do you display life excessively? Am I alive or am I just surviving? You know, some weeks I'm just surviving. I'd say, you know, I'm kind of surviving this week, you know. But in general, I hope I'm alive. Am I thriving or am I enduring? are your friends and family on an adventure with you? I've got a couple of questions for you here. Next week, Richard Dick is going to come up and talk about the first part of chapter 12, titled Remember Your Creator. I'd like to close this with a little prayer. Father, forgive us when we are miserable witnesses of the vibrancy of life that is the example of Jesus Christ. Inspire us to go for it, diversify, stick with it, enjoy, be happy, and relax. Stir us to grab hold of the life that is really life, the life of Jesus Christ, and to adventure with him on this earth with the knowledge that of the life eternal you promise in your word. Amen. Thank you very much.